Something has to give on Baby's Day, and it's not going to be the preaching. Amen. We're going to do away with the special. So turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And while you're finding your place there in 2 Timothy, good to have Stephen Painter's mom and dad here as well this morning from over in Beecher. And good to have them in the service and overlook them a little bit ago. Then moms and dads, listen. Next year, it's time for the Baby Day Parade again, so be mindful of that. Be thinking ahead of time about your float that you'll build to put in the Baby Day Parade, either from a stroller or a wagon, or there have been other unusual things used over the years, and we'll have a good time with that. And that features every family that has a baby in the nursery, not just the newborns, and we'll enjoy that next year, Lord willing, unless the Lord comes and takes us up there. Amen? And that'll be good too. I'm not going to have you stand since we just stood a moment ago. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is that where I had you turn a moment ago? 2 Timothy 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now he's writing to a man. He's writing to a man named Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We'll stop our reading there today. And I want to speak on this subject, children and the magnified word. Now, at church this year here at Faith Baptist, we have chosen for our theme, the magnified word. Out of Psalm 138 and verse number 2, where the Bible tells us, thou hast magnified, God hast magnified his word above all his name. You see the banners out there. The magnified word, the scripture songs, the scripture memory, the Bible bits. Now, we won't do that tonight with the ordination, but a lot of special things this year geared toward magnifying. If God has magnified his word, then it would be right for us to do the same. And so that's the purpose for this year's theme. And you're going to be hearing messages along those lines, okay? So I'm going to preach this morning on the subject children and the magnified word. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you once again for this very special day. And Lord, these couples and their children, and what a blessing, 8 little ones. And Lord, I do pray that you'll bless this message. It's not just for them, it's for everybody in the church. But I do pray that you'll help our couples that have young children pay extra special attention this morning to what you've put on my heart. And Lord, I trust it's from your word. It'll be received and fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in the homes and lives of all here. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Babies are a blessing. They are also a lot of work. I read where one mother said, I don't want to sleep like a baby. I want to sleep like my husband. And so you think about that. And then another mother said, spit up is my favorite new accessory. No outfit is complete without it. And somebody else said, parenthood is the scariest hood you'll ever go through. I had to chuckle at that one. And then Mark Twain, you know, he was good for a quip, right? Mark Twain said, Adam and Eve had many advantages. But the principal one was that they escaped teething. And so there you go for Adam and Eve. Now, I could go on and on about the blessings and the challenges of parenting newborns. It was so exciting to have that many newborn babies to present to our church family today. I'm happy for the parents. I'm happy for the grandparents. I'm happy for the siblings. I'm happy for our whole church family. Because babies bring a specific enthusiasm to a church. It would be sad not to have any babies in our church nursery. We don't have that problem right now. But anyway, one concern on the heart of every spiritual parent is the salvation of their little ones. Parents, I want you to listen carefully this morning. Be cautious about programming salvation into your children. The human brain can be like a computer. What you program into it, it'll just give right back. You got to be careful about programming salvation into your children. But at the same time, do not neglect it and hope that it just all takes care of itself. It is wise for parents, even at the age of these little ones here, to pray every day for the salvation of that young child in that child's hearing. In that child's hearing. Dear God, please, Heavenly Father, bring the name of the child to the Lord Jesus. Please, Holy Spirit, work on their heart and pray that prayer in the hearing, in the ears of those little children, okay? And I want to talk about that this morning, about this matter of children and the magnified Word of God, and how it all pertains to salvation and everything. Timothy's a well-known New Testament companion, a character. He's a companion and a disciple of the Apostle Paul. He wrote two letters to Timothy that bear Timothy's name, while Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Now, in one letter to another church, Paul said that there was no other man. Now, you think about all the men that worked with the Apostle Paul in ministry. And yet Paul said there was no other man more like-minded to him, more like-minded to Paul than Timothy was. So it goes without saying that Timothy was an impactful man among the first century churches. And from what the Word of God tells us, it is safe to say that Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, were influential in leading him to salvation. Timothy possessed what the Bible says was a clear faith in Jesus Christ. You see that in verse number 5, where Paul wrote, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." I want you to see that Paul said Timothy possessed real faith. You see that word unfeigned? That's a compound word. Feigned means pretend. Un is the prefix, which means not. So Timothy's faith was not pretend. His faith was real. His faith was real. And that's the kind of faith that Timothy possessed. All right. Real faith. Eric, I see your mom is here this morning, too. I'm sorry I overlooked you, ma'am. Good to see you in the service this morning. Glad that you're here. Not only did Timothy have real faith, he had residing faith. Paul wrote, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Timothy possessed it personally. Yes, his grandmother possessed real faith. Yes, his mother possessed real faith. But it's not just passed down to Timothy because grandma and mom were saved. Timothy possessed it personally. So it's a real faith. It's a residing faith. It's a resounding faith. Paul said, "I am persuaded." So in other words, others could see this faith. It wasn't a closet faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy was no secret disciple. Okay, everybody could see that Timothy possessed saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying this morning, church, is that Timothy had the real deal. He had the real deal. So what did mom, what did grandma do that led to Timothy having this real, residing, resounding faith? What did they do? Well, we're not left to guess. We're not left to speculate the answer to that question. My voice is not strong today, so bear with me. Look at chapter 3. You're in 2 Timothy. Go from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And we find out clearly what grandma and mom majored on in young Timothy's life. Look at verse 14. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known," watch this, "the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned. I want you to keep in mind from whom you have learned them." Timothy had learned from mom. Timothy had learned from grandma. Timothy had learned from Paul. And he said, "Do not forget the influence of God's word on your life." Now watch this. "When you were a child," the influence of God's word in young Timothy's life never left him. It stayed with him. And Paul said, "Timothy, and now a grown man pastoring a church," he said, "don't ever forget the influence that the Holy Scriptures had on you from the time that you were a child." Those scriptures influenced Timothy, and the ones that the scriptures that he was influenced by were the Old Testament books. He didn't have any New Testament books. And unfortunately, you have preachers and pastors today throwing the Old Testament books under the bus, insinuating that they're not relevant for today. Now, I want you to see what your Bible says. Don't look at me right now. Look at what your Bible says in the end of verse number 15. The Holy Scriptures, now watch this, which are able. Didn't say were able. Are able. That sounds like, listen very carefully, that sounds like the Holy Scriptures were, the Old Testament was relevant when Timothy was a child. Still relevant when Timothy was a young pastor. And you know what? They are relevant today. They're able. The Old Testament Scriptures are able to make a young child wise concerning salvation. And then guess what, church? Now we got 27 other books added to those in the Old Testament. We got 66 books in this one book right here. And the theme of this entire Bible is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole thing is. And Paul said that about these scriptures. Any parent who is concerned and interested in their child's salvation needs to pay careful attention to this text. Here was a saved mother and a saved grandmother with a lost little boy, because that's how everybody comes into this world. Unsaved, lost, a lost little boy. And it was the Holy Scriptures, it was the Word of God that brought light to this boy's darkened mind. And young Timothy trusted Christ. And it reads like Eunice and Lois were the people that God used to bring the influence of the Holy Scriptures to bear on young Timothy. Andrew Murray, listen to what he said. I love this quote. He said, the believing parent needs Scripture as the vehicle for the communication of his faith. In other words, Dad, Mom, we're not talking to our little children about a salvation that we just dream up. We're talking about a salvation that is grounded and rooted in this book right here. Okay? So listen again. The believing parent needs Scripture as the vehicle for the communication of his faith. A parent's faith, teaching the word of faith, may count upon the child's faith as the fruit of his labors. You know what Andrew Murray was saying? You got a saved dad, a saved mom, who take the faith of this book right here and teach it to their children. You can expect that the fruit of that effort will result in salvation coming to that child's life. Now, the dad doesn't bring the child to salvation. The mom doesn't bring the child to salvation. The Bible and the Holy Spirit bring the child to salvation. But it's the mom and dad. It's the grandparents, often, who are the vehicle, okay, that the scripture that uses the scripture to bring the truth about salvation to the young child. And let me say this. I'm hurrying. I don't want to belabor you this morning. I want to preach this, though. Listen. While it is best, it's best, the ideal thing is to have a saved dad and a saved mom working with unsaved or saved children, okay? But if you don't, if there's an unsaved spouse, if the husband is lost, ladies, if the wife is lost, men, unsaved wife, or if there's a single parent, a single mom or a single dad, just because there's not a saved husband and wife team, it doesn't mean that the faithful teaching of this book right here won't result in your children coming to Christ. And it was a sad day when Jackie Smith moved away from this church and down to Carterville, which she should have done. But that lady right there was an example of a single mother bringing the truth of God's word to those three little girls who are now a missionary's wife and two of them married to men who serve in churches. That's a blessing. Absolutely. So you can do it. You can do it. Timothy's dad was an unbeliever. Yet his wife, Eunice, and Eunice's mother, Lois, were saved. And just because Timothy's dad wasn't saved, I'm glad Eunice and Lois didn't throw in the towel and say, well, it won't work, all right? Now, dad, mom, grandparents, if you desire to see your children come to Christ, here's what you must use the Holy Scriptures. And you must start while they are young. Okay? So here's four things. First of all, number one, children must be taught to believe the Bible. believe the Bible. Look again at verse number 15. Paul calls them the Holy Scriptures. Now, this is the age of doubt concerning the Word of God. Religious leaders and educators and theologians of our day, they cause great confusion about the Word of God. They do not all use the same Bible. They point out errors in the translations that they don't use, and even in the one they do use, pointing out errors. And then if a new translation comes along, the people are directed to it because it's better and easier to understand than all the others. Look, the people who should be foremost in the defense of the Bible are undermining it. How can a parent hold a Bible in their hand and teach their children this book is the Word of God? And then someday, when the kids are older, cast doubt or point out errors in the book that they told their children is the Word of God. You know, a child is absolutely and easily a trusting individual. Easily and absolutely. You put a child on a kitchen counter, you put a child on the island, and you back away 6 or 8 inches and say, come on, jump, jump, daddy will catch you. What'd that child do? They jump. Because they easily and absolutely trust. And look, folks, the last thing you want to do with little children is hold a book in them that you don't, in front of them, hold a book in front of them and tell them that is the Word of God when you don't believe it yourself. Is there a book that you can hold in your hand in front of your little children's trusting eyes and say to them, this book is the Word of God? And there is. You better find a Bible that you believe is God's Word if you want your child to believe it is God's Word. And by the way, I'm being a little facetious right now. You don't just go out and grab one off this. There is a book that is the Word of God to the English-speaking world. It's the one that I'm preaching from this morning. You know, here's the thing. If you teach them that one part of this book is inaccurate, I wonder if someday they might choose to question the accuracy of another part of it. Maybe the part that says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Maybe the part that says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You really want to teach them their inaccuracies in God's Word? I'll tell you, I'd be careful about that. When our kids were little, in that family devotion time, we would, at the end of devotions, we'd have our kids, we all said together as a family, we'd repeat, the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Every word in the Bible is true. Night after night after night. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Every word in the Bible is true. And by God's grace, 6 of them grew up, and they still all believe that today. All of them. You got to teach them to believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Number 2, children must be taught to know the Bible. Look again at verse number 15. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, if Timothy, as a young child, now think about this. If he knew the Scriptures from childhood, you know what that means, church? That means that the Scriptures must have been presented to him in a very simple, clear fashion. You don't have to be an educated theologian. In fact, I'm getting to where I don't even like that word. Theologian. It's not found in the Scripture. Anywhere. Theology is not even found in the Scripture. Theologian. They didn't have to be an educated theologian to teach young Timothy the Word of God. And neither does any parent today. You need to have simple faith yourself, again, in the accuracy of God's Word, and teach it to them in that same faith. Now, There are two extremes that parents need to avoid. The first extreme is the belief that it is the church's responsibility to teach my child the Bible. That's an inaccurate extreme. The other extreme is the belief that nobody else can teach my child the Bible but me. There are ditches, folks, on both sides of a road. If you get on the right side or the left side, it really doesn't matter. You're still in the ditch. And the truth is always in the middle. That's the safe place. Every parent should personally take responsibility for teaching their children Bible truth. And then every parent should realize that God uses others to reinforce that teaching and, God forbid, maybe even introduce them to Bible truth that mom and dad maybe have overlooked or missed. Could it be? Oh, yeah, it can be. You know, why else did God put teachers in a local church? The truth of the matter is, repetition is the key to learning. So when a young child is taught the truths of God's Word from home and at church over and over and over and over at home and church and home, repetition of God's Word, then learning can take place. And that's why it's so important. I could preach a whole message on the matter of the family altar. It's just such an incredibly important part of a home to sit down with your children and have a time where you spend a little bit of time, not 30 minutes, unless it works out to be that way. That's great. You don't got to preach them a sermon. Go through the Bible stories. Go over a Bible. You've got a perfect chance. Learn the Bible memory verse at family altar. Learn it. Memorize it together. But go over the truths of God's Word with your children. They come to Sunday school and church. Those truths are reinforced here. And repetition is the key to learning. Children must be taught to know the Bible. I would say primary. More important than 2 plus 2. More important than science. More important than even history. This book has been magnified above the whole name of God. They need to know the Bible. Children should be taught to believe the Bible. Children should be taught to know the Bible. Number three, children should be taught to obey the Bible. Obey it. Look at verses 16 and 17 again. The culmination of believing and knowing the Bible is found in obeying it. He says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, Timothy, you've been taught to believe it and know it, and if you'll just put it to work in your life, if you'll just obey it, that's the culmination of believing and knowing the Word of God. It's obeying it. People, happiness in life will never be realized by just believing and knowing the Scriptures. Happiness will be realized by obeying them. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He didn't say you'd be happy just by knowing them. You'll be happy by doing them. We should all understand the importance of teaching our kids to obey. We talked about that last year. That is the very first thing that children ought to be taught from the Word of God, is obedience. And isn't teaching children to obey us ultimately teaching them to render their will to ours? Isn't that what it is? You know, you say to your children, obey me, do what I say. What are we saying to them? Submit your will to mine. Submit your will to mine. And folks, the truth of the matter is, God's will is the believer's law. And God has given us instruction according to His will. It's found in His Word. And we should submit and render our will to His, model that for our children, and then teach them to do the same. Obey the Bible. The blessings of obedience cannot be numbered. If you obey God's word over and over and over and over again in the scripture, we're taught to obey, obey, obey. Render our will to God's. I've said before that we're never more like the devil than we are when we allow our will to supersede his. That's dangerous. That was the original sin in heaven. I will, I will, I will, I will. Five times. I will. Superseding God's will. So children must be taught to obey the Bible. Number four, children should be taught to love the Bible. Love the Bible. Now look, if you ask a young boy, hey, tell me, what does your dad love? They might answer sports, hunting, fishing, work, yard, preaching, tools, trucks, cars, soul winning, bus visiting. That's what my dad loves. Why would they answer like that? Probably because dad, to some degree, has placed an emphasis on one or more of those things. And kids watch their dad get excited about one or more of those things. He talks about it. He plans for it. And he takes the children with him and involves them in that. And that leads the kids to be excited about it. If you ask a young girl, what does your mom love? What does she love? Oh, she loves sewing. She loves cooking. She loves shopping. She loves the flower garden. She loves singing in the choir. She loves preaching services. She loves talking to her friends on the phone. Why would they answer like that? Probably mom, to some degree, places an emphasis on one or more of those. And kids watch their mom get excited about one or more of those, talk about it, involve the kids in it, get them excited about it. One of the granddaughters was at the house yesterday helping my wife bake a cake. My wife enjoys baking. And the granddaughter now comes over and bake with her. There's nothing wrong with that. All of those are good things in which to involve children. And I want to say this. The language of love is one that a child easily understands. So you know what that means? We better fit the Bible into that list so those kids know Dad loves the Bible. Mom loves the Bible. And you do that from their childhood. I told Brother Caleb, I've told you, I was talking to Pastor Hanson last night at the house. We had supper together. This magnified word theme and the emphasis on this book is not just because we have to have a theme. That's not it. The theme this year is so that at the end of this year, I hope, trust, that God will have used the theme and all that we're doing as a church centered around this theme to cause a bunch of people in this room to love God's word. Love it. Love it as much as you love fishing. Love it as much as you love sowing. Love it as much as you enjoy working with your tools. Love it as much as you enjoy working in your flower garden. Love it. Love the book. The salvation that came to Timothy as a young child, through the vehicle of his mom and his grandma, using the scriptures, taught him about salvation. You know what's the blessed thing about salvation? Salvation is good at any age in life. It's good for children to come to salvation. It's good for teenagers to come to salvation. It's good for adults to come to salvation. If you're not sure that when you die, heaven is your home, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, went to that cross, and hung on there for 6 hours and shed every drop of blood in his body so that your sins could be forgiven. Amen. And you could spend eternity in heaven. You can't get there by working your way there. You can't get there by way of baptism. You can't get there way by church membership. You can't purchase your ticket to heaven. There's only one way. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That happened for me at age 18. That happened for Timothy as a young child. That happened for some people in this room later in life than 18. And if you're not saved or you're not sure, that can happen for you today. An angel passed in his onward flight with a seed of love and truth and right, and cried, "Oh, where shall the seed be sown that it yields the most fruit when fully grown?" The Savior heard and replied as he smiled, "Place the seed for me in the heart of a child." The heart of a child. It was D.L. Moody, I think, or somebody that said to D.L. Moody, talking about how many people they had saved in a particular meeting. "Oh, we had 6.5 people saved today." He said, "Oh, you must have had 6 adults and 1 child." He said, "No, we had 6 children and 1 adult." Because that adult's life is already half past. That child now has a whole life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a precious, precious sight to see those children. And I have great confidence as I look at those couples. I have great confidence that they'll teach their children to know to believe the Bible, to know the Bible, to obey the Bible, and to love the Bible. And that'll be a great thing in that child's life. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm so thankful we get to have baby day and have this opportunity. But now, would you please give me your ear for a moment before I have the closing prayer? I just wonder today, don't have to have a baby on baby's day to get something from God's word. So I wonder today how many folks would say, "Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about this matter of children and the Bible." And even grandparents, because even grandparents have the opportunity to teach the grandchildren to believe the Bible, to know the Bible, to obey the Bible, and to love it. So who's here today? Say, "Pastor, somewhere through the course of the message, God spoke to my heart." And I'll raise my hand signifying that. Can I see your hand this morning? Many hands across the room. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate that. Be in the business of teaching your children the Holy Scriptures. And I wonder today this. I wonder if there's someone here who would say, "Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. If I leave this world by way of an accident or some tragedy, I have no idea where I'll spend eternity. I'm just uncertain of it." If that's you this morning, you can know for sure that heaven is your home, not because of a church, not because of being a Baptist. That's not it at all. It's all about salvation that's in Christ Jesus. We have people that can show you from the Word of God how to be saved, how to have your eternal destiny secured from the Scripture and nailed down. Just if that's one of this morning, if you say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure I'm saved." And to be honest with myself and before God, I have to say I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I just see your hand this morning? If you're not saved, just slip it right up, right back down, right where you're sitting. I'd like to just pray for you. I'm not going to get anything from you. Just want to pray for you this morning if you're not sure that you're saved. Anybody like that today? "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven." If you're here today, you've been saved and never baptized, I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism as this first step of obedience. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have the invitation. Father, I thank you for this special, special day and the recognition of these little babies. And I thank you for the word that you've given us. And every parent can take this book right here and rear their children on the foundation of the truth of your word. It will stand when all else fails. The book will be standing. God, what a book. And I pray for every hand that was lifted this morning that you'll help them in their homes to magnify your word. And I pray that you will bring the children of Faith Baptist Church to salvation at an early age, a real possession of Bible salvation at an early age, and that they'll obey it and love it. Father, I pray for any this morning not sure that they're saved, that you'd please draw that person to Christ. I pray for these that need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Whatever it is, God, you want us to do in obedience to you, may it be done today, is my prayer in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And the music to the invitation begins. And you can use the altar this morning. You come right away while we wait. You raised your hand. You meant that. Would you come today? Take a moment to kneel and pray together. And ask God to help you in your home, with your children, with your family. Would you come and do that today? While we wait.